Learning Sefer Tehillim with Me'am Lois. This is Shir number 6. We are using the Me'am Lois that was written by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 11, Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk reads, Lam Netzeach LeDavid Vashem Chasisi Eich Tomru Nafshi Nudu Harchem Sipor. For the conductor of David, in the Lord I have put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee you like a bird to your mountain? David says, how can you speak to me this way? Flee from your high trust in yourself, your mountain, for your self-assurance is but like a bird that quickly soars away. Only he who securely trusts in Hashem is assured of deliverance. Thus our sages teach regarding the pasuk, I waited patiently, kaveh kivisi, for Hashem, and he inclined towards me and heard my cry. Because of his trust in Hashem, he inclined towards him and heard his cry. This is conveyed by the double kaveh kivisi. That is to say, out of the trust that is in the merit of my trust, I trusted that my cry would be heard and deliverance would come. Accordingly, David says here similarly, how can you say to my soul, flee you like a bird to your mountain, when my heart is firm and trusting in Hashem? The sages declare, when the Jewish people were exiled, the pagans rejoiced at seeing them driven from their home. The form of the verb appearing here is not nodi, a singular form, addressed to Israel alone, flee, but nodu, in the plural form. They addressed their words on high and down below. On high, they said, as a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man that wanders from his place. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Mishlei, by which they refer to Hashem, blessed be he who is called a man. As it says, Hashem is a man of war, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. His place is none other than the Beis HaMikdash, as it says, this is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it, but now Hashem was driven as it were from his abode. Some say that David composed this psalm at the siege of Keilah, as found in Shmuel Aleph. At first the people of Keilah had sent envoys to him asking for help against the Plishtim, who were destroying their crops. So David came with his men and struck the Plishtim a great blow. But then Shaul came there in pursuit of David after the Urim Tumim had revealed that the people of Keilah would hand them over. So David fled when he found out that they were ready to betray him to Shaul. He said to them, in the Hashem I have put my trust. You know that he will always save me. Why then did you tell me at the outset, flee you like a bird to your mountain? Why did you ask me to come to your mountain and save you from the hand of the Plishtim? Others say that David spoke these words when he was being pursued by Absalom and his men. For Hushai the Archite had advised them to flee to another country, as we find in Sefer Shmuel. How will your mountain and your throne protect you? Better flee to another land like a bird. The enemies of the Jewish people say to them, why does not God perform miracles for you? You would then easily cross the high mountains of troubles, just as a migrating bird passes over mountain after mountain. They thus deny divine providence that protects Israel. As it says, the wicked bend the bow, they have readied their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. That's what we're going to learn in the next pasuk. They declare that the firm foundations are destroyed by the enemy. So what can the righteous man do through his prayer? Found in pasuk Gimel. David's answer, Hashem is in his holy temple. Hashem, his throne is in heavens. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. For lo, the wicked bend the bow, they have readied their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. For lo, the wicked bend the bow, it is the way of the wicked to bend the bow and prepare the arrows upon the bowstring, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. David says, they secretly prepare to shoot at the upright in heart, like myself, but I have put my trust in Hashem, and their designs cannot succeed. Like hunters chasing after a bird which has done them no harm, so they have readied their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Ki hashosos yehoresun sadik ma'apo'o. When the firm foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous man do? When the righteous who are the foundations of the world are destroyed, what has the righteous man done? What has he accomplished by having fulfilled the mitzvah? When the firm foundations are destroyed, some say that this refers to the obstructions and snares which the wicked set up before the righteous. The scripture gives assurance that all these obstacles will be destroyed by divine intervention. For what evil has the righteous man done that he should fall into their hands? How has the tzaddik wronged you that you so greatly contrive against him? What has the righteous man done? That the firm foundations are destroyed is not due to the intervention of the tzaddik, but by divine providence. For what has he done to destroy them? Another interpretation says, if the three foundations of the world's existence are destroyed, truth, judgment, and peace, the world is destroyed. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Hashem beheichal kotsho, Hashem bashamayim kiso, einov yechazu afapov yivchanu b'nei odom. Hashem is in his holy temple, the Lord, his throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Hashem is in his holy temple from where he sees and examines their deeds. Although his throne is very high in heaven, his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men, as it says, I dwell in the high and the holy place, and with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is a pasuk that's actually found in Yeshayahu. For his eyes behold the evident deeds of the children of men. His eyelids alludes to intelligence whereby the hidden deeds of men are examined. As the pasuk says in Chumash Devarim, the secret things belong to Hashem, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Similar, David goes on to say, from the place of his habitation he looks intently upon all inhabitants of the earth. A subtle interpretation yields. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. If at times Hashem's presence is not evident, as it were, the eyelids have covered up his eye, that is so in order to try the children of men. Will they choose the good and be repelled by evil? But if the tzaddik would always have the good and the wicked received the bad, the children of men would be deprived of free choice. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Hashem tzaddik yivchon v'rosho v'ohev chomos sono nafshom. Hashem tries the righteous but the wicked and him who loves violence his soul hates. Here David approaches the question of the suffering of the righteous and the prosperity of the wicked. How is this to be understood when there is divine supervision? The answer, Hashem tries the righteous. The tzaddik is tested, and by passing the test as a loyal servant of Hashem, he proves himself worthy of being in the palace of the king. In other words, the test is not meant to ferret out evil, but the contrary. Hashem tries the righteous, those whom he knows to be righteous, and will withstand the test. by nevertheless putting them to the test and bringing into the open their devotion, Hashem's name is glorified. Others would then come to accept the tzaddik as the ideal whom they are to emulate. But the wicked and him who loves violence, even if he does not actually commit violence, his soul hates. Hashem does not try the wicked man, for he knows that he will not withstand the test. Our sages teach, to what can this be compared? A king built a high tower in his orchard and commanded many of his subjects be confined inside to work for him. Then the king said to them, "The one who excels at his craft will receive his full reward right here, and whoever is lazy at his craft will be sent to his home." The King of Kings is that king, and the world is that orchard. Whoever lives by the Torah finds the Garden of Eden right there open before him, and whoever does not adhere to the Torah is consigned to Gehenna. Although Hashem is king of the world, his presence is in the Beis HaMikdash. As it says, Hashem is in his holy temple. From there his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Whom does he try? The righteous. He put David to the test by means of a flock of sheep, and found him to be a faithful shepherd. Similarly, Hashem tested our teacher Moshe as the shepherd of his sheep. And him who loves violence, his soul hates. The wicked man not only commits abominable evil, but he also lusts to commit evil. As it says in Mishle, the soul of the wicked desires evil. Accordingly, it says here that his soul hates even him who loves violence. Hashem hates him even before he has actually committed the evil. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Yamter al rishoim pachim eish begafris veruach zel ofos menas kosam. Upon the wicked he will rain down blazing coals, fire and brimstone, and a scorching wind will be the portion of their cup. Although Hashem does not put the wicked to the test, he will destroy them even by unnatural means. Upon the wicked he will rain down blazing coals, a hail of black stones, fire and brimstone, and a scorching wind will be the portion of their cup. Among the terrible visitations that Hashem will send forth against them will be the scorching wind that will aggravate their ailments and wounds. A normal wind accompanied by rain would, on the contrary, alleviate their afflictions. When the wicked will behold the fiery rain coming down upon them from the sky, they will hastily retreat into their homes. Inside, they will be afflicted by the choking stench of brimstone and be forced to flee outside for a breath of air. Whereupon the scorching wind will cause an earthquake which will demolish their houses. There is an answer to the perplexity of seeing the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. Rather than focus on the immediate reality, one is to look to the final fate of the righteous and the wicked. As it says, "As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well near slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Until I entered into the sanctuary of Hashem and considered their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You hurled them down to utter ruin." Our sages teach, to what can this be compared? A king was standing in the bakery near the oven when a friend of the king entered. The king took out a warm bread and handed it to him. When an enemy entered, the king handed him a pan of burning coals. Both things came from the oven. Some explain that the wicked themselves will fan the fire that destroys them, just as they fan the destructive fires of this world. As it says, "Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that gird yourselves with firebrands, be gone in the flame of your fire among the brands that you have kindled," a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Ki tzadik Hashem, tzedokos ohev yosho yechazu panemo. For Hashem is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold His face. Why does Hashem afflict the wicked? For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness, and He hates the wicked man in whom there is no righteousness. The upright one who walks in Hashem's ways will behold His face when He extends His protective supervision over him. As it says, "You make me know the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand is pleasures forever." For Hashem is righteous. He loves righteousness. The repeated emphasis refers to righteousness in thought and righteousness in deed. The upright will behold His face. The tzaddikim will see Hashem before them, as it says, "I have set Hashem always before me." If at all times the righteous man knew the good and the wicked knew the bad, men would be deprived of their free will. Accordingly, David says here, Hashem is righteous. He loves righteousness. Provided the upright will behold His face, Hashem conceals from the righteous man the reward for his labors and allows him to suffer. This makes it plain that tzaddik serves Hashem purely for His sake. He does not serve Him for the reward. Now we go to chapter 12, pasuk 1. Lam natzeach al hashminis mizmor de David. For the conductor upon the Shminis, the eight-stringed instrument of Psalm of David. In the present Psalm, David protests the early death of the righteous, the men of piety and of good works, which he contrasts with the longevity of the wicked. He also pleads for salvation and deliverance for the poor and the downtrodden in accordance with Hashem's promise in the Torah. Some say the harp in the Beis HaMikdash had seven strings, but the harp of the Messianic age will have eight strings, corresponding to the present pasuk which speaks of the Shminis, an eight-stringed instrument. For the conductor upon the Shminis, the eighth string of the future, when the Jewish people will be delivered from domination by the nations, an eighth string will be added to the harp. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Hoshir Hashem ki gomar chosid ki fasu amunim b'pnei Adam. Save, Lord, for the faithful ones are no more. The loyal have vanished from among the children of man. Save Hashem, for the faithful are no more. Deliverance comes in the merit of the faithful. Now that the faithful are no more, be you the one to save, O Lord, for we have no other savior except you. Some explain that David complains of those who revealed his hiding places to his enemies. Save, O Lord, he implores, for the faithful are no more. There is no longer anyone who could be trusted. The loyal have vanished from among the children of men. When he was being maligned and betrayed to King Saul, there was not a single person among Saul's men who hated falsehood enough to rise up in protest against his persecutors. Hashem's ways are not as the ways of men of flesh and blood. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness, and His beneficence is manifold. But men no longer even speak of righteousness. Amunim read as expressions of loyalty, for the loyal have vanished from among the children of men. The scripture emphasizes that not only have righteousness deeds vanished from among the children of men, but the very concept of loyalty has vanished. Who is to blame? The children of men have themselves to blame as the cause of this corruption. Why are the faithful no more? For the loyal have vanished from among the children of men. The generation is not worthy that there be even one man of piety among them. Some point out that the faithful, the chassid, appears in the singular form, for the true man of faith is a rare treasure. But the loyal are in the plural, amunim, for there is usually more of them. Save the Lord, for the faithful are no more. Since the entire generation is guilty, the time has come for divine salvation. Thus the Talmud teaches that the son of David, the Mashiach, will come either when the generation is entirely righteous or entirely guilty. Now the root meaning of chassid is chesed, loving kindness, and amunim is of the same root as emes, truth. Accordingly, the present pasuk is also rendered as follows. The Medrash says that when Hashem wanted to create man, the ministering angels formed into groups of opposition, each offering a different reason why man should not be created. Truth said, "Do not create man who is a liar," etc. Only loving kindness said to create him. So Hashem, blessed be He, finally hurled truth down to the earth, as it is written, "Truth sprouts from the earth in order to establish order in the world." There truth and kindness met together. The singer complains, however, that neither kindness nor truth is now to be found in the world, for the man of loving kindness is no more. The truthful ones have vanished from among the children of man. Another interpretation says the singer is speaking here of two groups within the Jewish people, men of truth, amunim, who live in accordance with the laws of the halacha, and men of piety, chassidim, who do more than the minimum required by the letter of the law. He says, if there are plenty of people of the first kind, the amunim, then one will also find some people of the second kind, the chassidim. But if the loyal ones, the amunim, have vanished from among the children of men, then the faithful one, chassid, is no more. Because neither truth nor loving kindness is to be found among men. Not only is there no one who acts beyond the measure of the law, but they do not even fulfill the law, which is also called truth. Therefore I entreat you, says David, save, Lord, for I do not know in whom else to trust except in you. Save, Lord, if not for our sake, then act for the sake of your own great name. Do not cause your name to be profaned. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Shav yidabru ish esreihu spas halokos b'leiv v'leiv yidaberu. They speak falsehood, every one with his fellow, with flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. David HaMelech, King David, now depicts the corruption of the wicked. They speak falsehood and flattery, and with a double heart they speak. The latter is given a number of different interpretations. They each seem to possess two hearts, because what they say is not the same as what they think. Because they speak falsehood to one another, it is as if their hearts, minds are doing the actual talking, not their mouths and lips. With flattering lips, when they speak to one another, each of them embellishes the lies that he tells with honeyed words of flattery. With a double heart they speak, according to another interpretation. This refers to the expressions of sincerity they use with one another. Know that I am saying this to you with all my heart and complete trust. There is always a sure sign that man's mouth is full of deviousness. He knows that he is insincere, and fearful of being found out, he resorts to flattery. The Medrash tells the story of a man who wanted to buy wheat, but said to himself, if I ask for wheat, he will tell me that he does not have any in order to raise the price, so I will ask for lentils. He then asked for lentils, and response came, good, I purchase a great amount of lentils because wheat is very expensive, and it's not even to be found in the entire city. Similarly, David says here, Chalkos leiv leiv yidaberu, chalokos leiv leiv yidaberu. It's in our pasuk, with a slippery double heart they speak. Each of them discerns the shrewdness of the other, and they speak with cunning. The pasuk, the verse, refers to the lips and the heart, the mind, for one can speak falsehood with any one of these organs. Pasuk Dalit, pasuk 4. Yachreis Hashem kol sifse chalokos Loshon medaberes gedolos. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks proud things. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips. The singer cries out, why should the righteous and the pious be cut off? Better that the wicked perish, who speak with flattering lips, whose tongues speak proud things, with arrogance and self-veneration. They who declare, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Some explain that this verse is a prophecy. In the future, Hashem will cut off all flattering lips so that the wicked become objects of scorn. He will cut off every tongue that speaks proud things. The Talmud says that the evil of talebearing is worse than idol worship, than adultery, than the spilling of blood. For while the Torah designates these transgressions as gadol and gedolah singular forms, the scripture here calls the speech of the wicked gedolos in the plural form. Like the pasuk says, losha medaberes gedolos. All those harsh transgressions may be found under the wing of evil talk, because in all of them the transgressor pretends that the eye of Hashem does not behold his deeds. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Asher Amru Lushonenu Nagbir Sfaseinu Itonu Mi'odon Lanu. Who have said, by our tongue we will prevail, the lips are ours, who is Lord over us? Here the singer explains what is meant by the tongue that speaks proud things. It is that the wicked say, by our tongue we will prevail. We will continue to say whatever we please. The lips are ours. Who is Lord over us? Who will keep us from speaking in any matter that our spirit moves us? Who will punish us for doing so, since a based in the court of law is not authorized to impose punishment for speaking freely? Hashem created two protective walls for the tongue, the lips and the teeth. But the wicked declare, what do we care for the teeth, and can we not prevail over our tongue? An alternate rendering of the word Leshonenu Nagvir as in our pasuk, nor can the lips impede us, because the lips are ours, and we can move them as we please. Who has said, by our tongue we will prevail? Another interpretation says, we will give strength and majestic power to our tongues and not to our hearts, since the mouth can speak without forethought. According to a different interpretation, the scripture says, so long as the lips are ours, that is, we have not spoken, who will lord over us? Who can examine the hearts and the reins of a person? Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Mishod aniyim me'enkas evyonim ato okum yoma Hashem oshis beyesha yofiach lo. For the plunder of the poor, for the groans of the needy, now I will rise, says Hashem, I will set him in safety at whom they hiss. For the plunder of the poor, for the groans of the needy, because the wicked plunder the poor and make them groan, it is fitting that Hashem should say, now I will arise to avenge them, I will set him in safety at whom they hiss. I will bring salvation to the poor against whom the wicked set traps, pachim, here associated to Yofiach, and whom they defraud with flattering lips. For the plunder of the poor, when I behold the poor being plundered, and the groans of the needy, I will set him in safety at whom they hiss. I will counsel the poor and save them from the hands of those who ensnare them by laying traps and obstructions. Because the poor and helpless do not fathom the flattering lips, because the needy are deprived of everything and there is none to show them mercy, I will arise, says Hashem. Said Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, every judge who passes a truly truthful judgment causes the Shekhinah to dwell in Israel. As it says, Hashem stands in the congregation of God in the midst of the judges he judges. But every judge who does not pass truthful judgment causes the Shekhinah to depart from Israel. As it says, for the plunder of the poor, for the groans of the needy, now I will arise to depart, says Hashem. Another interpretation says, for the plunder of the poor, when the poor are plundered, the totally destitute, the needy, hear of it, and they tremble in terror, they groan, that they will also be afflicted. But then Hashem says, I will arise, I will set him in safety at whom they hiss, I will save the oppressed from his oppressor. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Im maros Hashem, amoros tohoros kesef tzoruf ba'alil lo'oret mezukok shiv osoyim. The words of Hashem are pure words, as silver refined in the crucible upon the ground, purified seven times. The singer recalls Hashem's promise in the Torah, if you afflict him in any way, for if he cries out to me, I will surely hear his cry. My wrath will wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, as we find in Chumash Shemos. It is fitting that you honor your promise, he says, for the words of Hashem are pure words, as silver refined in the crucible upon the ground, purified seven times. Instead of Olil Oretz, some read it as Al Yedei Baalei Ha'oretz, by the masters of the earth. Hashem's word is pure truth. Comparably, man, the master of earth, obtains a pure grade of silver only by first purifying it seven or seven times seven times. Moreover, it is within Hashem's power to fulfill his promise. Unlike men of flesh and blood, who are poor in resources and often cannot vindicate their words. The words of Hashem are as silver which has been refined in a crucible made of the choicest and highest quality soil. There is no dross in the words of Hashem, just as there is no dross in silver that has been refined seven times seven. That is, please turn tape over to side B. That is to say, there is dross in silver which is not detected and removed at the first purification, nor the second, nor at the third, but only after seven purifications. Similarly, the words of Hashem are pure words which no one can falsify. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Ato Hashem tishmerem tisrenu min hador zu l'olam. You will keep them, O Hashem. You will preserve them from this generation forever. You will keep them, the singer cries out to Hashem. It is fitting that you alone, directly and without intermediaries, safeguard and care for all those poor and helpless people. That you preserve each of them individually from the perils of this evil generation of robbers and killers. Said Rabbi Yeshua in the name of Rabbi Levi, in David's day, mere youngsters who had never tasted the taste of sin would expound on the Torah and defend every opinion in 49 different ways. As it says, their words of the Torah were pure words, as silver refined seven times seven times. So David offers a plea to Hashem on their behalf. Master of the world, behold how lucid and pure, how refined by seven times seven refinements are your words of the Torah in their hearts. So keep them. Safeguard what they have in their hearts. Preserve them from the present generation of informers and slanderers, lest they learn their evil ways. The scripture teaches us that when the generation is corrupt, the righteous man must rise up even if he is all alone, and challenge the lie that it is vain to serve Hashem, as the pasuk brings down in Malachi. The man who thus rises to affirm the truth is himself as silver refined seven times seven times. Pasuk test, pasuk 9. Saviv rishoyim is halochun kurum zulus livnei odom. The wicked walk at every side where when vileness is exalted among the children of men. The singer bemoans the fact that the wicked walk on every side. They surround the righteous with murderous intent. So keep them, O Hashem, you will preserve the righteous man. For if the wicked are permitted to become exalted by overcoming the righteous, that is a vileness among the children of men. Humanity is demeaned when the weak and defenseless are exploited, as it says in Mishle, but when the wicked rule, the people sigh. In the subtle interpretation, the verse is read, the wicked walk on every side. There is no purpose to the lives of the wicked, whose existence is a perpetual cycle, saviv. They work in order to eat and eat in order to work. The Talmud says that prayer is one of the things that stand at the apex of the world in importance, yet men are neglectful of it. As it says here, that which is at the height, kirum, is cheapened, zalus, among the children of men. The effect of prayer reaches the highest realm, but people are neglectful of it because they do not readily perceive that their entreaties have been answered. According to the Targum, kirum is linked to rima, a worm, and kirum zalus ne adam is thus read like a leech that sucks men's blood. The wicked walk on every side. They walk around and around about the truth and never get to the sharp point of truth. Why is this so? Because vileness is exalted among the children of men. That which is scornful, zulus, namely the transitory things of this world, they hold to be of the highest importance, kurum. Another interpretation says, the wicked walk on every side. They walk all around me to trap me in their snares. However, when finally they are exalted, kirum, that is, when they attain the great success for which they have striven, that will be vile among the children of men, zalus of nei adam. Their accomplishment will prove to be their shame and downfall, as happened to Avshalom and to Achitophel, as found in Sefer Shmuel base. The verses of the present Psalm set forth an answer to those who, by means of an avalanche of words, distort the Torah of Hashem and introduce false interpretations. The scripture says, even the words of Hashem, the narrative tales in the Torah, are pure words as silver refined, free of all dross. For the plain meaning is a garment about the hidden meaning. Therefore preserve, guard them, O Hashem, from the wicked who corrupt and distort and falsify. For the wicked walk on every side, and vileness, the nonsense of what they call investigations of Torah texts based on reason, is exalted among the children of men. Another interpretation says, why do the wicked walk on every side? For vileness is exalted among the children of men. The arrogance of vile man causes them to be vile to others. King David says, the wicked walk at every side, spreading snares to obstruct me, and they do so out of envy that vileness is exalted among the children of men. The greatest evil they see in my eminence is that I, a lowly shepherd, was taken from my flock of sheep to become a king. Such is the way of men when someone they scorn is exalted. Others explain, vile deeds appear to the wicked as something high and exalted. It used to be customary to recite the present psalm at the circumcision ceremony. Perhaps the reason was that it contains the verse, the words of Hashem are pure words, which was taken as alluding to the commandment of circumcision, milah. Another term for word is milah. As it also says, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. The Talmud relates that when David once entered the bathhouse and saw himself naked, he exclaimed, woe is to me that I stand naked, naked of all mitzvahs, of all commandments. But he regained his composure when he was reminded of his circumcised flesh, and upon coming out composed this psalm, as it says, for the conductor upon the Shmimis, the eighth of Psalm of David, the commandment of circumcision was given for the eighth day. Some say that he then composed the sixth psalm, which also says, upon the Shmimis, a Psalm of David. Indeed, it would seem to be more appropriate to recite Psalm 6 rather than Psalm 12, which contains the verse, favor me with grace, O Hashem, for I languish devoid of all commandments. The infant has not fulfilled any mitzvahs to his credit, which the circumcision rectifies. Heal me, O Hashem. Chapter 13, Pasuk Aleph. Lam Netzeach Mizmor LeDavid, for the conductor of Psalm of David. In the present psalm, King David asks Hashem not to forget him and not to hide his face from him, having said earlier, the wicked walk on every side, as we learned in chapter 12. He now goes on to ask from the depths of his heart, how long, O Hashem, will you forget me forever? How long will you delay to save me from those who pursue me? Pasuk Beis. Adonai Hashem tishkocheni netzach adonai tastir spenecho mimeni. How long, O Hashem, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long appears in the present psalm four times as David complains against the unrelenting persecutions he suffers every day at the hand of Saul and his men. How long, O Hashem, he begins, how long will you forget me? Will you then forget me forever? You have hidden your face from me. How long will you still continue to hide your face from me? He suffered in many different ways from these persecutions. He was forced to wander from place to place in the wilderness. He suffered spiritually and intellectually because he could not devote himself to Torah study properly. He was without food and water, and at night his spirit could not rest. He was destitute and had to ask Neville the Carmelite for a kindness, as found in Shmuel Aleph, which demeaned him. Accordingly, he prefaced every plea for help by asking Hashem, how long? Some say that David offered this plea when he was forced to flee from the land of Israel, the Holy Land, for the alien lands of the nations. It then seemed to him as if Hashem had forgotten him. As it says, cursed be they before the Hashem, for they have driven me out this day, that I should not cleave unto the inheritance of the Lord. So from his exile in the foreign land, he cried out, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever in this alien land? Will I ever again enter your memory? How long will you hide your face from me? For as our sages teach, only one who dwells in the land of Israel finds favor in Hashem's eyes. There's also an indication of the four exiles that will befall the Jewish people. And David pleaded four times to those four future exiles, how long? Similarly, the prophet says, and it shall come to pass that as he called, and they would not hear, so they shall call, and I will not hear. Pasuk is found in Zechariah. Hashem said to the Jewish people, how long? Four times, which they did not heed. He said, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? The pasuk that's found in Chumash Mos. How long will this people despise me, and how long will they not believe in me? The pasuk found in Chumash Bamidbar. How long will I bear with this evil congregation? Therefore, measure for measure, he said, in the future, I will hand you over into the hands of the four kingdoms, and from there you will say four times, how long? But there is also a corresponding indication of the redemption. But as for me, in your mercy do I trust. My heart rejoices in your deliverance. I will sing to Hashem because he has dealt bountifully with me. David concludes Psalm with an expression of trust that the Holy One, blessed be He, will hear his prayer, that Hashem will listen to his prayer. Then only I will sing to the Hashem. Song only comes after the divine promise has already been fulfilled, after he has dealt bountifully with me. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Ad ono oshis eitzos benafshi yogon bilvavi yomam ad ono yorum oivai oloi. How long will I take counsel in my soul when there is sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? It appeared to David as if God had forgotten him and hidden his face, and the pleas of the previous pasuk are continued. Had you not hidden your face from me, I would have no need of counsel, as it says, neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before Hashem your God three times in the year. It's a pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. But now that I do not merit your protective supervision, every day I must search for ideas and strategies to save myself. How long will this have to go on that I need to take counsel and preventive action? The singer complains that he cannot devote himself to Torah study because his mind is occupied at all times with counsel on how to escape his enemies. How long will I take counsel in my soul when there is sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? The affairs of this world are like a rotating wheel. This man rises and that man falls. It may therefore come to pass that on occasion he that falls will rise again. But here my enemies seem always to be at the very top while I remain in the most deplorable condition. When there's sorrow in my heart daily, when daylight comes and the whole world benefits from Hashem's loving kindness, when a man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening, I have to worry about eluding my enemies. This is found later on in Tehillim when David Melch says this. But even after I take counsel in my soul, I cannot be certain of having found safety from my enemies. There is sorrow in my heart daily. I would be spared this sorrow if you were to remove my troubles from me. As it is, however, neither my counsel nor my daily sorrow improve the situation. So I plead before you, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? A subtle reading of the verse yields the following interpretation. So long as I continue to think that my counsel will bring deliverance, there is sorrow in my heart daily. This will continue to be so until I acknowledge that there is no deliverance except from Hashem. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Habito aneni Hashem elokoi ho'iro enai pen ishan hamavis. Look you and answer me, O Lord my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Corresponding to his beginning entreaty, how long, O Hashem, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? The singer now says, look you and answer me, O Hashem, my God. At the very least, lighten my eyes with good counsel, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Do not permit the hand of the enemy to overpower me, for death to claim me in the end, for my enemy does not seek my money, but my life. Then again, David says, lighten my eyes with knowledge of the Torah, lest I sleep the eternal sleep and my soul perish. A related interpretation says, I am fearful that I may sin and never be resurrected. My sleep will be a perpetual sleep of death. There's also an allusion to our present long exile. In contrast to the Babylonian exile, which was likened to a dream state, as it says, we were like dreamers. During this exile, we are closer to a state of death than to life. A parable. To what can this be compared to? An old man had an only daughter, and before his death, he appointed one of his close friends as her guardian and trustee. He handed over to him a considerable sum of money for her with instructions that the money should not be given to the daughter, neither for food nor for clothing. She is to support herself by the labor of her hands. The money of her inheritance would be kept until she marries, to pay for the wedding expenses. Then the man passed away, and the young lady earned her livelihood doing whatever came to hand. A day came, and one of her relatives approached the trustee. The maiden's face looks pale and drawn, he said. Probably she's not eating enough. But the trustee only repeated her father's instructions that not a penny of the trust fund was to be used for food. A short time later, the same relative came again. The man's daughter has fallen ill, and she is confined to her couch. Money is needed for medical treatment to cure her. Once again, however, the trustee said, I cannot give you any of the money which will be needed for making a wedding. The other replied, if you will not give her money at this time to make her well, whom will you lead under the wedding canopy? The meaning of the parable is that the Jewish people in exile are like seeds planted everywhere to produce fruit. As it is written, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for as the earth brings forth her growth, so the Lord God will cause to spring forth before all the nations. The pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. But we cry out to Hashem that the afflictions are so great in number that little separates us from death. Thus the singer here shouts, how long, O Hashem, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Look you and answer me, O Hashem, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Pasuk 5. Pen yomar oivi yecholtiv sorai yogilu ki emot. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against them. Lest my adversaries rejoice when I move, collapse. The singer continues, I entreat you because I fear for the honor of your name. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against them. My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this plenty. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Lest my adversaries rejoice at my downfall, it is fitting that you save me. Is it not written, rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. If my enemy sees me always in the most deplorable condition, while he remains at the height of his success, he will proclaim that you would always prevail over me, that you have hidden your face from me forever. Pasuk 6. V'ani b'chastacho b'tachti yogel libi b'shuasecho oshir l'adonoi ki gomal oloin. But as for me, in your mercy do I trust. My heart rejoices in your deliverance. I will sing to Hashem because he has dealt bountifully with me. When I am steeped in pain and sorrow day after day, I yet trust in you to save me. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance, but I will sing to Hashem after he has dealt bountifully with me. In the midst of his troubles, David found consolation by trusting Hashem. So strong was his trust that he would be ready beforehand to sing a song of thanksgiving to Hashem for his deliverance. Similarly, the Talmud relates about Hillel the elder. One time he was returning from a journey, and he heard a great cry coming from the city. He said with conviction, I know that it is not coming from my house. About men such as him, the scripture says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in Hashem. Or as the author of the Chovas HaLevavos says, if one trusts in Hashem, his spirit is serene. The singer says to his enemies, you will say that when I am victorious, I too will act as you do. Not so because I trust in your mercy. I will not rejoice in the destruction of my enemies. Rather, my heart will rejoice in your deliverance. Indeed, I will do more. I will sing to Hashem because he has dealt bountifully with me. I will thank him for making my heart rejoice, for bestowing upon me the ability to rejoice. In your mercy do I trust, when I feel that I am not deserving a reward, but that you in your mercy have dealt generously with me, my heart rejoices in your deliverance. However, I will then rejoice deeply with me, not outwardly, which is a higher plane and still beyond me. When will I sing to Hashem a joyous song for all to hear? After you will have dealt bountifully with me, due to my credit, because I have been found worthy of reward for my good deeds. Others note, although I will be the one to benefit from your deliverance, my heart will rejoice in your deliverance, as it were. I will celebrate that thereby the glory of the divine presence has become known in the world. Perek Yudalet, chapter 14, pasuk 1. Lam netzeach leDavid omar novo beliboy ein elikim hishchisu his ivu alilo ein oisei tov. For the conductor of David, the villain, the fool, has said in his heart, there is no God. They have dealt corruptly, they have done abominable deeds, there's none that does good. In this psalm, David speaks out against those who deny divine providence, and he rejects the views of the villain as false.
The villain has said in his heart, there is no God who rewards and punishes. As a result, men have dealt corruptly. They have done abominable deeds. There is none that does good. Mankind has reached a state where no one does anything good, only evil. The singular form of Ein Oser Tov says there is not even a single person who does good. Do not be astonished that those who have power over us in exile defiantly tell us that there is no God, nor why they have dealt corruptly. They have done abominable deeds. It is because Israel's sins have handed them the power to do so. A subtle reading yields the interpretation. The villain or fool says in his heart, there is none that does good. He does not see any man practice goodness, and therefore I too will so conduct myself. Why does the villain say in his heart that there is no God? For he sees that the children of men have dealt corruptly. They have done abominable deeds. There is none that does good, yet they are not punished. David goes on to say that there is none that does good, not even one. If even one man is corrupt, he contributes to the corruption of the whole world. They are all turned away, altogether foul. When the generation is corrupt, even the righteous man is blemished. The Medrash says, thus have the sages taught in the Mishnah. Each and every Jew is under obligation to say that the world was created for my sake. Let no man say to himself that there is no world to come, that because everything is chaos and confusion, I will follow the whims of my heart and do as I please, that I will eat and drink and enjoy this world and then pass away. The scripture says of him who so acts, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Hashem Mishamayim Hishkiv Apnei Adam Liros Hayesh Maskil Dorish Asilakim. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any men that understood, that sought after God. Lest it be thought that there is only one solitary villain who said in his heart, there is no God, the singer adds here, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any men that understood, that sought after God. In other words, this one villain has many comrades who do not seek after God and do not believe in divine providence. To see if there were any men that understood, to serve Hashem properly requires understanding, intelligence, and deep thought, as it says, let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Hashem who exercises mercy, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. It's a pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. Careful thought on this matter brings one to good deeds. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any men that understood, that sought after God. Was there even a single person who gave thought to divine supervision in the world, and that the light of God's face was turned to him? Was there one of whom it can be said that he fulfilled, seek you the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually? Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Hakol sor yachtov ne'alochu ein oisei toiv ein gam echad. They are all turned away, altogether foul. There is none that does good, not even one. The words hakol sor are read in two ways. They are all turned away from the proper path, and they are all despicable in the eyes of Hashem. Yachtov ne'alochu, they have become altogether foul and abominable. Ein oisei toiv gam echad. There is not a single person of understanding among them, and no one with traits of excellence. When the generation are all turned away, then they are altogether foul without exception. Even the righteous man is befouled. Pasuk Dalit, Pasuk 4. Halo yadu kol po'alei oven ochle ami ochlu lechem Hashem lo koro'u. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, that they who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the Lord? The singer cries out against those who use their intelligence for evil, but do not know to use it for good. Literally, they know all workers of iniquity. Halo yodu kol poalei oven, to whom they cleave those who eat up my people as if they eat bread. They have knowledge enough for this, but they do not know to seek after God. They do not call upon the Lord. Our sages apply this verse to the enemies of the Jewish people. If any one of them does not rob and steal from a Jew, he does not taste any sweetness in his food. Eating my people seems to them like eating bread which has a sweet taste. Usually when one eats the same food many times, it becomes distasteful to him. This is not true of bread whose taste never cloys. Similarly, they who eat my people are like those who eat bread, and they do not call upon the Lord. They do not acknowledge that God gives them plenty, but say that their own hands save them. David says about the wicked, they are all workers of iniquity, this one in one way and that one in another way, but in one thing they are all alike. They eat up my people as they eat bread. The more any of them can devour the Jew with one full mouthful, the more sweet the taste as one who consumes morsels of delightful bread. This is found in Sefer Daniel. Pasuk 5. Shom pochatu pochat ki likim bedor tzadik. There they were in great fear, for Hashem is in the generation of the righteous. Here David also alludes prophetically to the arch criminals who destroyed the Holy Temple, Nebuchadnezzar and Titus. Although they knew that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the sins of the Jewish people, that they who ate up my people were as one who eats a loaf which has been specially prepared for him, they did not call upon Hashem. They boasted that our own hand has prevailed. But then, at the time of Belshazzar, he was seized by a great fear, because he knew that God is in the generation of the righteous. This refers to the generation of Yechaniah, who were tzaddikim. There they were in great fear. Instead of eating my people, the nation should have been in awe of Hashem and fearful of his retribution. For Hashem is in the generation of the righteous, and he would stand by them. As it is, in the end, they will be humiliated. Some explain, David says that there have already been billions in the past who met their doom. In the end, they were in great fear when punished. Others explain that the verse refers to the Jewish people. In the course of their exile, they were in great fear, but they retained their faith that Hashem is in the generation of the righteous. That is, in the end, he will exact retribution from their enemies. Pasuk 6. Atzas ani sovishu ki Hashem machsehu. You shame the counsel of the poor and helpless, for the Hashem is his refuge. We will continue and repeat this pasuk again in our next shir. We are learning Sefer Tehillim with Me'am Loewes. This is Shir number 6. We are using the Me'am Loewes that was written by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hindu Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 11, Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk reads, Lam Netzeach LeDavid Vashem Chasisi Eich Tomru Nafshi Nudu Harchem Sipor. For the conductor of David, in the Lord I have put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee you like a bird to your mountain? David says, how can you speak to me this way? Flee from your high trust in yourself, your mountain, for your self-assurance is but like a bird that quickly soars away. Only he who securely trusts in Hashem is assured of deliverance. Thus our sages teach regarding the pasuk, I waited patiently, kaveh kivisi, for Hashem,
and he inclined towards me and heard my cry. Because of his trust in Hashem, he inclined towards him and heard his cry. This is conveyed by the double kaveh kivisi. That is to say, out of the trust that is